May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. What manner of man is a prophet? What kind of person is a prophet? Abraham Heschel, a Polish-born rabbi and theologian, had something to say about that. On the eve of the Second World War, he was living in Frankfurt and was deported to Poland by the Gestapo. He later fled to England to avoid further ramifications. Four of his family members were killed in that war, in concentration camps and in a German bombing. Later, he arrived in the United States, and he worked in the civil rights movement as a rabbi. He participated in the march in Selma. What kind of person is a prophet? He asked. And he had something to say about that. He was familiar with it, you could say, not just from his studies as a rabbi, but from first-hand experience. What kind of person is a prophet? He wrote a book about it, and in it, he describes the prophet as a person concerned with God's involvement, not just in the big events, but in the particular circumstances of day-to-day existence. A person whose experience is that of a fellowship with the feelings of God, a sympathy with the divine pathos. A person whose task is less about predicting the future than admonishing the present. I like that part. Less about predicting the future than admonishing the present. To do so is a thankless task. To do so is to accustom oneself to a life lived on the edges of society, always dreaming, imagining what life could be like. Heschel, Abraham Heschel, like Jesus, understood that the prophet's life was anything but glorious. He knew what it was like to be a Jewish rabbi who was despised by the land he once called home. He knew what it was like to be thrown into a life of constant exile. Heschel knew, like Jesus, that prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. In today's gospel reading, Jesus, the wandering rabbi and miraculous healer, meets resistance among his own, in his hometown, among his own kin, in his own house. And the lesson we gather from the passage is anything but triumphant. Jesus' admonitions among his own are ignored. His healings are rendered almost ineffective. It's fitting that the reading lands straight before our ears and eyes in ordinary time. This episode in the life of Jesus' ministry would not make it to the highlight reels. Being a prophet, being someone concerned with God's involvement in everyday life, being someone whose experience is that of fellowship with the feelings of God, being a person who's less concerned with predicting the future than admonishing the present, being that type of person is rarely rewarded. It is rarely appreciated or recognized. And yet, this is exactly the kind of life the gospel pushes us toward, the kind of life imagined for Christ's own disciples. And he sent them out two by two to heal, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor. It may not be that you've ever considered yourself prophetic, but in this passage, Christ's disciples are sent to do the work of their Lord. And there is no doubt that their work, whatever words they use, whatever task they undertake, will indeed be prophetic. A word in action about God's involvement in everyday life, an experience of fellowship with the feelings of God, a concern not with predicting the future, but with admonishing the present. What will it look like for us, Christ's own disciples, 2,000 years later, to participate in such prophetic work? Let me offer just a couple of pointers that I gather from this gospel passage today. Just like our story today, our role in God's story will rarely be the kind that's immediately recognizable as such. Don't expect a light to blind you as you go along your merry way to work, or a vision to come to you at night. The prophetic work to which we have each been called is rarely about big moments, rarely about speaking out at the 11th hour, but more about showing up at every hour, in ordinary time, about being a persistent and abiding presence in everyday things. The moment we shake someone's hands and smile might be the moment that that person has an experience of family that they've been missing for a long time. The moment we set some food out for someone at a funeral reception may be the moment that you provide the healing balm that's needed for that person in such a time. The moment you commit yourself to meeting with a neighbor with whom you think you have very little in common may find you in fellowship with something incredibly divine, a prophetic symbol of the kind of reconciled presence God intends for this world. Secondly, we are so used to imagining the prophet as someone who proclaims, but we forget that the disciples were first people who listened, who took on a 3-year unpaid internship with Jesus as he wandered around the backwater towns of Galilee. To listen deeply to the teachings of Jesus, to listen deeply to how he went about his ministry, is the first task of the person who claims to be prophetic in the Christian tradition. Before we proclaim, we must be prepared to listen. Now, to listen deeply doesn't mean we don't proclaim our faith or adopt some mild-mannered objectivity when we talk about it. Far from it. To listen deeply to the heart of God and to the heart of the church may push us into radical territory. Our words will have more power, more depth, more grounding in the reality of the kingdom of God if we listen deeply and proclaim out of such listening. Thirdly, and lastly, don't set off on this task alone. There is a reason Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. And here is maybe the greatest myth of the prophet's role, the idea that they are lone rangers standing at the margins, sent to do God's will for such a time as this. In Christ's prophetic ministry, we do not ever set out on our own. We are always part of a larger whole, called to push, encourage, and admonish one another first and foremost in the everyday things. And doing so will bring about a world that we have yet to imagine. I pray that we would have the courage to live out that prophetic ministry in the everyday things, to be in sympathy with the divine pathos, to be present to one another in the present. Amen.